Hello guys, Jonathan here from Arcade Repair Tips. We would just like to take a moment and thank you for listening to the audio replay of the live show here on the podcast feed. We'd also like to remind you to join our live show on the first Thursday night of every month at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. It's always a great time, and we enjoy interacting with people just like you in our live chat, so be sure to make plans to be there for the next one. Remember also that we have an after show that takes place immediately after the live show, and if you'd like to listen to the audio from that, you will need to check it out on our YouTube page, which can be found at youtube.arcaderepairtips.com. So let us continue on with a short word from our sponsor, and then we'll get to the episode.
Broadcasting from their world headquarters in Texas, it's the Arcade Repair Tips Live Show, the show that discusses arcade repair, restoration, news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Tim and Jonathan.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Arcade Repair Tips Live Show for March 2024. My name is Jonathan Leung. I'm the producer, director, and editor here at the Arcade Repair Tips video series. And joining me today, as always, is Mr. Arcade Repair Tips himself, Tim Pearson. Tim, starting a little later tonight.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of a conflict, but still on the first Thursday night of the month. So,
yeah, we're still
getting in there. It's a little later, but maybe that has given some people an opportunity to join us that otherwise would not be able to.
Hopefully so.
I'm hoping that is the case. So, but anyway, we are so glad that you guys are here tonight for us as we go through and answer some of your questions. We have several on the agenda tonight in the outline. But before we get to those, how you doing, Tim? What's going on?
I'm doing okay, John. Just, you know, we talked about it all the time. It's like you think your life's going to slow down and just ramps up again.
Absolutely.
So life never ends. Things never change. But you know what? That means you got stuff and people and things to do. That's better than being bored or not living at all. So,
thankful to have health
and stuff to do stuff.
I was going to say, you celebrate a birthday, too, since we last saw you. That was on the 2nd, but we're going to celebrate tonight. I have a present here for Tim. There you go, Tim.
All right, thank you.
So you will get to open that probably at the midway point of the show. I think that's when we usually do present opening. But I did send a nice happy birthday to you, Tim, on your actual birthday.
You did.
We decided to celebrate tonight like we normally do. So I hope you had a good one. Did you do anything special?
I did. This year I thought I would do something a little special. Me and Dom went back home to where I'm from in Louisiana and saw my sisters. And they got to throw a small birthday party for me. Had some nieces and nephews that were able to come in. One came in from Mississippi, and we had cake and good food and all that stuff. So a lot of times, you know, it's about a three-hour drive, so I'm usually here and celebrating more with my wife's family, which they are my family, and they're really good to me. But I have not seen my sisters in a while. It was kind of good just to get away for a couple days and went and saw them. So it was a good time. I was really, really thankful to be able to see them.
That's always good when you can kind of go back and see some family. And I feel like the older I get, the more important that becomes.
You know, I remember as a kid when everybody would be like, let's take pictures. And you're like, oh man, we got to take pictures. And we took a lot of pictures and stuff because, you know, the truth is one day that's all that somebody's going to have. And I'm not getting any younger. So it's good that we took a lot of pictures and just had a lot of laughs and stuff. So, yeah, you know, it was good.
Good, good, good. Well, I'm glad to hear it, Tim. Well, we hope that life has been treating you well since we last saw you back in February, Tim. It has been a little bit extra because we had Leap Day, of course, which would have normally fallen on the 1st, but it didn't. It was the 29th this year for the first Thursday of the month would have been, like I said. So instead, we're on the 7th, which, you know, gave us a little bit of extra time to prepare. Unfortunately, not enough to actually be on time tonight, but it is what it is.
It still seemed like it went by fast.
Oh, absolutely. It always does. A lot has gone on since then, including we had a huge hailstorm.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, where I am at, we had hail that was golf ball to baseball size, and pretty much every lawn has a roofing company sign in the yard.
Right.
We drove in. So, I mean, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. So glad that you guys, though, are here tonight and that you made it to March. So I do want to say hello to our live chat this evening, Tim. We have several
over here.
Let's see. Angelina is here. Tim Allen is here. Geeklight08 is here. Good evening, everyone, he says. Delusional's Arcade is here. Peter is here. Let's see. Who else? Yeah. And American Amusements is here. So glad to join you, Jonathan. Looking forward to seeing how to or how the pricing on arcade games. God bless. Awesome. Okay, so we've got that question coming up along with several. So we're so glad that you guys are all here. And I guess, Tim, since we're all caught up in live chat and everything's good to go, I guess we'll go ahead and get into the questions for this month.
All right.
So the first one we have here is from Candy. And Tim, I know that I accidentally threw us and the outline up there for a second, like when we were getting ready for the show. Guys, I'm so bad with clicking things. You would think that, you know, being a computer programmer and being in IT, I'd be really great at this, but man, my hand slips all the time. But it is what it is.
I don't think anybody left because of that.
Well, there you go. I hope not. So I guess we'll see, Tim. But anyway, guys, let's go ahead and get into the questions. And the first one we have here is from Candy. And Candy writes, I just picked up an original Fast and Furious arcade cabinet for $225. The screen shows this error. If these games are prone to have all the same problems, my thought is you guys have dealt with it. Hope to hear from you on this. I am so frustrated. Thanks for all that you guys do. Really. I appreciate you. Thanks, Candy. Now, Candy's written in before, Tim. So this will be her second time at least to write in. But she's got a Fast and Furious, an original arcade cabinet. And you can see here that we've got on the screen a no signal detected check signal cable message.
Right. Okay?
So we've seen this a lot in different arcade games and such. So what is going on with Candy's Fast and Furious arcade cabinet here?
Well, you know, the screen itself is a good indicator. I mean, we really does say that it's not getting a signal. So what we're talking about is it's not getting a signal from the board or from the PC, probably in this case, to the monitor. And that could be several things. Think of it like if, you know, it's almost funny now because when I say desktop, nobody has a desktop anymore. Everybody has a laptop.
Absolutely.
But in the desktop days, if you just unplugged your computer, you would get this screen. It would bounce around or float around on your screen. That's kind of what's going on here. So we're not getting signal from the game board. So what we always say at Arcade Repair Tips is to always start at power. So we're going to make sure that we're getting power to our PC and make sure that it is functioning and working. You'll hear the fan. You'll hear it light up. You'll hear it beep. You'll hear it making noise, a hard drive spinning, things like that. Those are our indications that the computer's working. Now, we could hook up a regular computer monitor to it and see if that's the issue. But more than likely, it actually tells us to check the cable. Well, that's a great place to start. We will check the cabling, the wire, sometimes just a reconnection of that. But it could be that more than likely, every time I've ever seen this, it usually is that the computer has died or it has lost its battery or the CMOS settings and it's not turning on like it's supposed to upon startup. What about you, John? Have you seen this before?
Absolutely, and I think we've talked about this a lot. I feel like we get this question quite a bit. And like Tim mentioned, it really has to do with the connection between your game board and your monitor. It could be that the game board itself is not getting power, and so it's not able to come up. Like Tim mentioned, if it's a computer-based system, it could be that the computer is not coming on, and so we're not getting a signal to the monitor. And in those cases, you can check some of the things that Tim mentioned. But I'm going to go ahead and throw up the outline scene here so we can kind of discuss it here, Tim. So this message indicates that the monitor is working, but that it's not receiving a signal from the game board. Let's start off this repair by checking the power supply to make sure that the game board is getting the correct voltage. Now, Tim, I did a little research. This game does use an ATX-style power supply, which requires you to check the voltage at the connector. Tim, those wire colors, if you will, for people who may forget, how do we know what wire colors coordinate to what voltages?
Well, usually the red wire is your 5 volts and the yellow is the 12, but not necessarily.
Right.
The way we're going to look at it, we're going to actually see where it connects to the game board to see, we can look at our pinouts and see what color that wire is and follow it back. Of course, we can just test it with the meter and see which one is which. But usually the orange or red wire will be your 5 volts and the yellow or orange wire could be the 12. So it kind of depends, you know. Depends on the wiring. We need to look at our schematics, look at our pinouts, and see where those voltages go, and that will tell us what wire color.
So if the voltage is correct, and we'll go from there, then take a look at the input wiring between the game board and the monitor to ensure that it's making a good connection. You can also inspect the game board to see if there are any suspect areas that are keeping it from running properly. Now, Tim, Candy's actually in the live chat tonight.
Okay, hello, Candy.
And she says that the computer is working. She hooked it up to another monitor and same screen. So Candy, does that mean that you hooked it up to another monitor and you're still getting the input signal detected part?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, so it could be that the video has gone out on the board itself. That is a possibility if you're hooking it up to a different monitor and still getting the no input signal.
if the game board comes on and it's not putting out any video, then it could be a problem with the video section of the game board. Or if it's a PC-based system, it could be a problem with the video card, which is right. common. I want to say that Fast and Furious is an actual game board, Tim. I don't think it's PC-based. The original, if it's the original. If it's a PC-based board, then you will have a separate video card that'll hook up to. Now, Golden Tee, for instance, Tim, does have, even though it's a standard, you know, PCB, like arcade style PCB for a game board, still has a breakout video card on it. And so you may still have that set up there. But if we're not getting any video, then usually that would be more of a game board issue if we hook it up to multiple monitors and we're still... And she says it looks like a desktop, so it is a PC-based.
Okay.
So in this case, yeah, if the computer itself is coming on and it is PC-based and you've got everything hooked up, then it could just be a matter of, like we said, the video card malfunctioning in the game. There are replacement video cards you can get for those if you contact... That's a Raw Thrills game, right?
Yes.
So if you contact Raw Thrills, I mean, that's a very popular game, so I imagine they're still offering support on that. You can check Raw Thrills' website. They have a support number there you can call. Tim, do you know that off the top of your head by chance?
I don't. I used to. I would have probably a couple years ago, but no, I don't know it off my head. It's ICE is the name of the company. Oh, man, I should know that. 716.
Well, isn't ICE and Raw Thrills different?
Yeah, well, it's same. They're same in the tech same, support? Same tech support, same building.
Okay.
They're just separate divisions, but yes, they would direct you for Raw Thrills plus three or whatever.
Oh, gotcha. So, yeah, so what you may have to do should is contact them and see. Or you can send it off to repair, Tim. Eldorado Games will do repairs on PC-based systems like this. So we have if you go to our resources page at arcaderepairtips.com/resources, you'll find Eldorado Games under the arcade PCB repair section. And so you could also send it off to Eldorado. Eldorado is somewhat expensive, but they could get it up and running. Or you could also call Raw Thrills and see. Now, she's asking if the recovery disc will help at all. In this particular case, it may. I mean, it's worth a shot, but the fact that you can't even get a BIOS screen up, like we're not even getting the initial boot up startup off the computer up, that's not a great sign. Typically, that means either a video card or motherboard.
Well, and I will say this. I had a similar issue one time, Candy, and we tried everything. We did the motherboard. We did exactly what you did, everything, and it actually was the cable. It is possible because of the way those games are, because they come out of the PC and then they dip down and they turn around. That cord can have a broken wire. So I will encourage you before you send off anything to make sure, try a different computer cable and see, just in case that's not the issue, because I have seen that at least once, probably more than once. But more than likely, like Jonathan said, it's probably something in your video card.
Or motherboard. Because, I mean, typically we will get a BIOS screen at least. Like, yeah. If the motherboard is functioning, you will get that. Not necessarily. If the video card is totally out, that may not be the case. So, it could be a video card, could be a motherboard. Really just depends on what's going on with it, like I said. And you may have to... If you contact Raw Thrills, they can give you some troubleshooting on that. And if it's a video card issue, they could probably tell you that fast. Or like we talked about, just ship the whole thing off to Eldorado Games because they do specialize in that kind of stuff. It's a little on the expensive side, but they can get you up and running for sure.
I almost said the number. I said 716. It is 716-759-0360. Now, once I saw it, I remembered it.
Okay, you got to slow it down for Candy so she can...
716-759-0360.
Okay, there you go. So if you call that number, you can get in touch with Raw Thrills technical support. And again, Fast and Furious is a game that's still very much out on route, and so I imagine they still have people there at tech support that can help you with it, right?
Yeah, they're just good folks, too. I think they would try to help you no matter what. It's worth troubleshooting some with them. But Jonathan's right. The recovery disc won't do much of anything. If the signal is telling you it's not getting it, that would be more of if you're getting incorrupt files or something else on your screen.
Yeah.
Then you would do the recovery disk.
A lot of times we'll see it'll boot to the black BIOS screen. It'll come up and it'll say like hard drive error. It'll say hard drive failure, something to that effect. Then we're looking at maybe doing the recovery at that point. But the fact that we can't even get that far really, like I said, kind of lends us more to either a motherboard issue of the underlying PC or a video card issue. Yeah. So,
but definitely try to switch the cable. I mean, try a different cord just in case. And like I said, the only reason why I'm saying that is because of those driving games. A lot of them really get pinched up inside of there.
And another thing is that driving games take a lot more physical force against them than other games do. And so those cables, like Tim's mentioned, over time, they can just wear. like we were talking about. You can get a lot of wear on those cables.
Yes.
Because you got to remember, kids are turning that wheel, and that cabinet's just bouncing around, especially if you've got something with force feedback.
For sure.
And after a while, those cables, it can cause havoc on them. So, and Tim's exactly right. So make sure you check the cables well. But outside of that, I think those are going to be your best options. So let's check our input cable, make sure that's working properly. And then at that point, we may just need to go ahead and contact Raw Thrills directly and get technical support on the phone. And if you're pretty sure that you do actually have a game board / game PC issue, you may just need to ship it off to somebody for repair, like Eldorado Games or so.
Yeah, so, and I wouldn't trust your... You may know some people that, like, I know a really good one, or somebody that... But even people that are skilled in computer repair, that has a lot of proprietary stuff on it. You're going to need to send it to somebody who does this kind of repair for the best result, in my opinion.
Yeah, and she does say that the computer is working. So I assume that you do see the fan coming on and that you are seeing a little bit of signs of life. And so if that's the case, then, okay, we know the computer's coming on. We're just not getting anything out of it.
Right.
And that's a little bit harder to troubleshoot, like I said, especially if you're not getting a BIOS screen, than it would be if you were... If it did get the BIOS screen and then was just not booting, for instance. Angelina is asking, battery on the PCB? Probably not, because if the computer itself is coming up, like if you're actually getting power from it when it gets power, then more than likely the battery is okay at that point, because it's booting by itself, and so right. we know that it's booting. And so probably not the PC, the CMOS battery at this time, but it's not a bad idea to go ahead and replace it if it's never been replaced.
You know, here would be a great question that we should have asked from the beginning. Do you get gameplay? Does it play blind?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because that will tell us the PC is definitely working and we're not getting the video out. So that would be something to try. Let it boot up. Are you hearing sounds? Are you hearing backgrounds, car racing or whatever? If you try to coin it up, what happens there? Those are a couple questions I would probably ask you, too.
Yeah, if it's not playing blind at all, then we definitely know it is a game board issue for sure. She says, my soldering skills are no bueno. May have to send it off. Thanks again. You guys are awesome. And in this case, soldering skills may not help you much. There's really not a whole lot you can do soldering-wise to fix it. It'd probably either be, a video card or a motherboard replacement, which is mainly just, pulling a motherboard out. There's connectors all over the place. You just undo all the connectors, put the new one in, and connect it all back up. Or in a video card case, there's just a slot that basically the video card sits in, and you would take that out and put another one in. So
yeah.
Yeah, and she's saying no gameplay. So no gameplay means no board working.
Right. That's what, if you were having gameplay, that's where I would really go back to that cord again. But if you're not getting any gameplay at all, then it probably is a problem with your motherboard somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So in that case, like we said, best option, we would probably contact Raw Thrills first just to see if they can walk you through something on the phone. Raw Thrills does take advanced replacement, right?
Yes, or they may let you send it in, especially if you tell them, hey, look, I don't know, Candy, this could be a foreign arcade, but maybe it's for your home use or whatever. But if you just tell them, hey, look, I'm not in a hurry, can I send it in, let you guys fix it and send it back, that's actually the cheapest option. But sometimes they will just send you a PC and charge you a core charge.
Yeah,
but
what we call advanced replacement. They go ahead and send it, and you send your old one back. And
right.
That's it.
But that can be a little bit expensive if you don't own an arcade. If you own an arcade, you want to get it back quick, and you don't mind spending several hundred dollars because you're going to make that back. For the home use only person, that could be quite expensive.
Right. In that case, you may just want to send it to them for repair and then have them send it back when they're done with it. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I think we got to be a lot to think about there, Candy. Hopefully, we've at least given you a good starting point on where to go from here, where you are now. And please let us know what you find out from Raw Thrills or Eldorado or wherever you decide to do from that point on.
So. Yeah, write back and let us know.
For sure. Okay, Tim, let us move on to our next question from David. And David writes, I have a Midway cocktail machine. I need the printed circuit board that attaches to the back of the Hitachi picture tube. Now, I put chassis there, Tim.
Okay.
Because he's talking about a chassis. He just doesn't realize that's what he's talking
okay,
about, right?
Sure.
It is a multi-game machine. The board has a tag on it with the number V9BT132892. If you have this board or can get one, can you email me with a price? Thanks. Now, Tim, I did look up this just to see, if I could reference anything from that tag number. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anything just based on that tag number when I did a search. But we do know it is a Hitachi picture tube, and so we do know that it can be used as an arcade monitor.
Right.
The question is, what can we do? Where can we find a chassis for this thing?
Right.
So, what do you think, Tim?
Yeah, well, he's seeing something, so he must think his is bad.
Right.
Right?
Or he doesn't have one.
Or he doesn't have one. Well, how does he know what the... Is he talking about the picture tube
because Hitachi is a picture tube. Okay. And I think he's talking about maybe the tube number or some sort of labeling on the tube.
Yeah, the tag number then doesn't really tell us much at all. The size of the tube along with, so you need to measure the tube and stuff. With that said, there are some people that make universal chassis. We could say that. So you could get a universal chassis and or the, what did he call it, the PCB for it or the board for it?
Yeah, let's see. It was the printed circuit board that attaches to the back of the tube.
Okay, so you can get, they make universal ones. So you would need to know what size is your tube. And really wouldn't matter what kind of tube, except if it was an arcade game.
Right.
In the beginning. Now, if it was a TV or something, that might be different. So I would try to get a universal tube and replace that. Or
universal chassis.
Yeah, universal chassis, I'm sorry. But sometimes that's almost more trouble than it's worth than it is to just buy a whole new monitor.
Sure.
Sometimes you can just buy a new monitor and put it in there. Those would be my suggestions.
Sure. So I'm going to go ahead and put this up here, Tim, because basically what you said is what I put, I think. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the tag number on the chassis doesn't tell us much because I looked it up, and again, there was nothing I could find with that particular tag number. The size of the tube, like Tim mentioned, along with any identifying labels on the tube itself would help us find a better match, including the previous information along with the yoke readings would give us the best chance to find a match. Okay, right. Tim? And you can take those yoke readings from the top. The junknet.net, I did not put that here, but they used to have like a little guide for how to check the yoke readings. You can probably find videos on it now. But if you know the yoke readings and the size of the tube, then you can usually find a compatible chassis. So, with that said, there are some options we can try based on the information provided. If it's a 19-inch, there's a chance they could be compatible with an Electro Home Geo7 chassis. Tim, I looked up some generic tube compatible tubes with the Electro Home, and Hitachi was one of them.
Okay, good.
And so, if it's a 19-inch, there's a chance that your Hitachi tube would be compatible with the Electro Home Geo7 chassis.
Right. Okay?
Now, we do have a thing around here. If the neck board doesn't fit, you must quit, right?
Sure.
Okay, so that's like the first thing, okay? So if it doesn't fit at all, then you got a problem. But if it fits, there's a good chance it'll actually work. Now, that's if it's a 19. If it's a 25, 27, 26, somewhere in that range, you might try the Universal Monitor chassis from eBay. Tim, I have a link here. I also put this link down below in the show description so he could find it. But that chassis is not the best chassis and is usually some form of a waya, which sounds like something that Bruce Lee says whenever he has a battle. But it is usually good enough to get you up and running, right, Tim?
Yeah. Like I said, and by the time you spend the money and the hassle, a lot of people just go ahead and get a monitor that already, a new tube that already has it on there. You just put it in and plug it up and start playing. So, you know, those are your choices. And some of it may be a amount of money issue. It is cheaper to try to buy one of those universal monitors, but from what we've been told, about half don't work.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like a hit or miss with those. Yeah. I mean, the times it works, it seems to work okay. Again, repairability on those is pretty low, though, on the universal chassis. But again, if you're just using it to get it up and running, doesn't seem like it's no harm, no foul. If it breaks down, guess what? It's cheap. You can buy another one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some benefits to going the universal route if you want to go that way. But again, if you have a 19-inch, you really can't do that. They used to make a 19-inch universal, but I haven't seen it in a long time.
No, long time.
So you may have to get those yoke readings if you have a 19, and then find a compatible chassis. The Electro Home Geo7 is compatible with a lot of Hitachi monitors. That's the reason I put that up there. So that could be the case with yours. So, you know, just let us know what you decide to do and where you decide to go from there. But I think overall, Tim, like we said, get the size and the yoke readings. If you want to get back to us with those, we can actually tell you which chassis would be compatible as well.
Sure.
So we can give you a list. So there we go. So David, hopefully answered your question. Good luck finding a chassis for your Hitachi, compatible with your Hitachi too, if I can talk tonight. There we go. Okay, Tim, let us move on to our next question here from Robert. And Robert writes, I am looking for some help in properly identifying what I believe is a 25-inch Wells Garner monitor that I have in a Steel Gunner arcade cabinet. I need to buy a replacement cap kit and flyback for it. Thank you very much for your help. Now, Tim, you will see the markings here. We've got the serial number, which really doesn't tell us a whole lot. We do have the manufacturer date is April 1991. And there is the P539. Is that what it is in the middle of the chassis there?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Right. Which is pretty common. And so we know for sure that this is indeed a Wells Garner chassis, but it's a 25-inch, just like Robert says. He's looking for the flyback and the cap kit for this. And so overall, though, Tim, how can he find that? I mean, how does he know exactly, you know, which monitor this is in the Wells Garner line of monitors, right?
Well, you're going to have to go to somebody that specializes in some of that kind of stuff, and I'm sure you got a good website for him to go to. But that P538 stamp indicates it's probably a Wells Garner K7000 series. Steel Gunner is a standard resolution game, so we're going to assume that it's a 25K something. And you can get a cap kit and a flyback for this. Still, as far as we know, and from Arcade Parts and Repair.
Yeah, really, the P538 tells us all we need for the cap kit and the flyback.
Right.
We don't need to know the exact K7000 model.
No,
it's 7191 or whatever. Because most of them are already fully compatible, okay?
Yeah.
And so really all we need is that P538. And the fact that you gave us that should be enough. Because most of the times, all those K7000s, I think unless it's a medium res version of it, they pretty much all take the same caps and the same flyback.
I think so. And this is why it's good, so good that he sent a good picture.
Yeah.
The picture really helped on this one.
I wish he would have given us a little bit wider version, because we only got like the little corner. But we got a little bit of it. We got enough to get the 538, but I really wish that he would have given us kind of the top-down view, because it's like that's how I always picture chassis, right?
Yeah.
Like from the top down. So, but we got enough, I think, to get the information. The P538 stamp is really what's going to be the giveaway on this. So, Tim, I'm going to go ahead and put this up here. The P538 stamp on the chassis indicates that it is a Wells Garner K7000 series chassis. Now, KLOV, like Tim mentioned, states that the Steel Gunner is a standard resolution game. So we're going to assume that this is a standard resolution version of the chassis, probably like a K7191. It could be, it doesn't look like a 7400. I think a 7400 is a little bit more, a little bit newer than that. But it's something in the 7000 family. Mm-hmm. We know that. And it's a standard resolution version of that, okay? So just based on that information alone, we know that we can get the cap kit and flyback from Arcade Parts and Repair. And Tim, I went ahead and gave him links to both of those. So the cap kit and the flyback. And those are the short links, Tim, but those will take you to Arcade Parts and Repair. And we also put those links down below in the show notes, so that way he can get them as well. But, yeah, I mean, it is a K7000 series, but there's a lot of different versions of the K7000. But, like we were talking about, as long as it's the standard resolution version, then this cap kit and this flyback should work. Tim, do you have anything else here for Robert before?
Now, there's a lot of places now that you can get the cap kit, but it's really getting a small number of places to find the flyback, and hopefully they still have them in stock.
Absolutely. So check Arcade Parts and Repair there, Robert. Hopefully you can get it compatible. Geeklight08 says Bob Roberts. I think Bob Roberts would probably have that stuff in stock as well. You need to contact him.
Hopefully he'd have the flyback.
Yeah, he may not have the flyback. That's a good point, Tim. But therealbobroberts.net, always recommend him for parts as well. So if that's somewhere you'd like to go instead to order your parts, you may do so. Just check with him. Make sure he has it in stock before you send him a check. But Robert, hopefully it answers your question, and good luck rebuilding your K7000 monitor chassis. So, Jumping General just jumped in, says, "Hey guys, I'm late to the party."
Uh-uh.
And Tim, you're never late here. You're always
right on time.
Right on time. That's right.
We were late ourselves.
We were late.
So don't worry.
That's right. We started a whole hour
later.
We're
only 30 minutes in.
That's right. And it's not even daylight savings time yet.
Right.
Daylight saving time. Excuse me. Singular. But we're about to get into that, though. In fact, what is it? Next weekend?
April?
No. It is either weekend or next weekend.
Wow. You've got
to make me look it up now. So,
Good, because I'm tired of getting dark.
You better set your clock, Tim. You're going to be late for church.
I am.
So, is it late or early?
Or it might be early.
I was about to say, I have to think about that. No.
Might be on time for once.
Well, we spring forward, right?
Yeah.
So that means almost 7 o'clock central time, it'd be almost 8 o'clock central time.
Oh no,
time,
I'll
right?
be late.
You'd be late. So you don't want to be too late, Tim. You'd be there in church already, be over. So set your alarm. Make sure you do that on Sunday so you're not late for church. There we go. And you guys set your alarms as well for whatever you're doing on Sunday. Tim, they've been matching spring break up with daylight saving time.
Oh, okay.
So that's been a thing. And so I know my kids are on spring break next week. And so that's how I knew that they were doing it. And you know, it used to be April. You're right. Like, it used to be week. It used to be, but they moved it all out. And I don't know. Does anybody live in, isn't it Arizona that doesn't observe daylight saving time?
That'd be strange, but yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like I want to do that, though. I feel like we just need to do it. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Totally off subject, Tim. Totally off. But that's okay. We got more to talk about. So
okay.
Let us get on to our next question here from Mike. And Mike says, hi, I have been following you on YouTube for years. I recently ran into an issue on my Tron stand-up. I have two MCR boards. One was completely refurbished, and both produce the included image on the monitor. Now, we're talking about Tron here, Tim.
Okay.
And MCR boards, okay? Just ordered a new switching power supply, hoping that it would solve the problem. I was hoping you have experience with this issue. Thanks for any help you can provide in advance, Mike. Okay, Tim, so there's... I want to leave this picture up here a little bit. You can see we're getting garbage, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's thinking he's got a power supply issue here, and, you know, it's very possible, right?
It sure is.
But what else can he check in order to make sure that, you know, he can get this Tron up and running? What are some other things?
The main thing I would start off with would be those interconnect cables.
Mm-hmm.
And those cause a lot of issues like that. And then I would check the game board for any cold crack, solder joint, stuff like that. But them cables...
those are the... You know, you're talking about the ribbon cables that connect the boards together, right?
Yes. And especially since he took them off and tried a different board. Although that's a great idea. I would have done the same thing. I can't tell you how many games we fixed just from putting them cables on. Outside of that, it's probably a board issue. And something's going wrong with his board. Maybe it's a bad ROM or whatever. But I would inspect that board really good. Try to... reseat maybe some of those chips, but boy, those ribbon cables sure can be suspect and a lot of times the issue.
Yeah, and Tim, he does say that he put a completely refurbished MCR in there, and so if that's the case, it should be working perfectly.
Exactly.
Okay, and so I would assume that the power supply is working, and that's...
But he
that's...
didn't change the cables, right?
Right, exactly. So so for the most part, that's why we're kind of leaning heavily on game board, but let's go ahead and put this up here real quick. While the switching power supply kit is not necessarily a bad idea, the fact that you had a completely refurbished MCR board hooked up and the game still didn't boot would seem to indicate a game board issue. In this case, check the interconnect cables that connect the two boards together. Make sure they're making a good connection. That's on the actual main game board itself. Okay, and then check the game board for any cold, cracked, and or broken solder joints. Check the ROMs on the board. If they are socketed, gently push them to see if... to see if they can make a better connection to the board. And of course, Tim, we have an entire post on inspecting an arcade board that you can check for more general troubleshooting tips. Now, Mike wrote back, Tim.
Okay, good.
And this is what he said. He said that he ended up replacing the power supply with the MCR switching power supply from eBay, and it fixed the issue and now runs with no issues.
Nice.
Now, here's the thing, Tim.
It's not cheap, is
it? It's not cheap.
Wow.
Okay, so this, and you can get it. Okay, I found, he sent me the link. This is the link that Mike sent me. Okay, so the price is $409.99 plus shipping.
Wow.
Which shipping to us was going to be $59.60. So you're talking about fixing it for around $470 plus tax. So pretty close to $500 probably all in.
Wow.
Okay. Now, you can see how cool this is, though. It's pretty plug and play.
Yeah, looks nice.
You know, it's very nice, and they use the same blue background and font, which is weird, as we do, as you can see. Looks like one of our slides.
Yeah, it does.
So it's, but there you go. It is a really nice MCR switching power supply there. And man, I tell you what, I actually heard a lot of people use these, and I think we talked about these in a previous show, too.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that they actually work really well makes me feel good. You know what I'm saying? Makes me feel like, okay, well, I'm glad that we're working pretty well here. But yeah, $500, kind of steep for this. And to be honest with you, if this worked, the completely refurbed MCR board probably should have worked too.
That's what I'm wondering. Why?
Which is kind of,
yeah,
unless there was a hookup issue, which, Tim, hooking up MCR is a little tricky.
Yeah.
And so it could just be that maybe we had some hookup issues. But I'm glad you got it working with this. And to be honest with you, this will probably run a lot longer and a lot better. Okay, then what, the original MCR, unless you bulletproof the MCR really good. But hey, if you're comfortable spending $500 and getting it all running, man, more power to you. And you got to remember, Tim, what Trons are worth now.
I was going to say, it is a Tron.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, what's a good running Tron worth nowadays? $2,500, maybe $3,000?
Yeah.
If it's fully restored. And so $500 is a minimal amount to spend on something, especially if it's something you're going to keep forever and you want to bulletproof it, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So, but just to give you an idea, YouTube Punk has an... oh, little emoji with the $500.
Uh-huh.
Joe says, $500, I better wash my car.
Yeah, so, right.
So,
mow the grass. And
it's a little expensive because we've gotten an arcade game for that, right? We've gotten an entire arcade game.
I bought a Tron for that one time.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, you can, like I said, so it is a little on the expensive side, Tim. But, you know, if you're talking about a game you absolutely love, you want to run good for a really long time, and you got the money to do it, man, more power to you.
Right.
That's what I would say. So, Mike, man, if it got you up and running, you're good with it, and you're happy with it, man. don't listen to us at all. That's what I would say. But I only question it because I would have thought that the completely refurbished MCR board should work.
Yeah.
That would have been my thing. I did put a link down below if you guys want to check it out on eBay. I think he only had one left in stock, whoever the seller is on that. He'll probably have some more ready at some point. But again, kind of steep pricing. But if you're going to, like I said, if you want to keep it forever, maybe it's worth it.
Maybe so.
There you go. So, Mike, we're glad that you got your Tron up and running. We're glad it wasn't a game board issue. And hopefully that switching MCR power supply in there will last for a long time.
Yeah, really appreciate you writing us back and letting us know that.
Yeah, we love the
updates. What was the fix? So that's good.
Yeah. So what I do, Tim, is I usually email people whose questions are going to be on the show.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of times they'll email me back. And that's what happened with Mike there, is he actually emailed me back.
Nice.
And so when I send those emails, and you know, so typically, you know, we take the emails we get every month and we take a selection of those, right?
Right.
And so it's, you know, it's usually something that they've sent within the last month or within the last live show. And so, you know, people are usually good about responding if they've got it fixed at this point. So
okay.
There you go. So Mike, we're glad you got up and running. And like I said, hopefully your Tron will continue to work great and you'll continue to play it for years and years and years and years and years. So. Okay, Tim, let us go to our next question from Ben. Now, Tim, I actually had some interaction with Ben, beyond this. And Ben is not his real name, but we're going to continue to use this pseudonym just because.
Okay.
So, and I think Ben was actually in the live chat earlier. So hopefully you're still around, Ben, to get this. But I wanted to leave your pseudonym here just because not everybody is comfortable sharing their real name.
That's fine.
And I got no problem with that. So if you just want us to say anonymous, that's fine too. We like to use names because that gives us identity. It's like, okay, we know that this is... And we like also places, like wherever you're located, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so if it's Ben from, you know, like Massachusetts or something, we like to say that. He did not put where he is from, Tim. And like I said, he's using a pseudonym. But that doesn't mean we're not going to answer his question. Let's go ahead and get to it real quick. So Ben writes, hello, I wonder if you or anyone you know can help me adjust the pricing on my video games. I have racing and driving machines. I bought them for my own game room. Most are set at $1, but I want to set them at 25 cents. My game room is in a very poor area.
Okay.
So Tim, first off, we want to applaud Ben for this. Because me and Tim have a philosophy that we believe that when games are set cheaper, they'll get played more, and you'll actually end up making maybe more revenue because of it.
Okay, so.
Because if people can, you know, if they know that they can play more games, if they can get more out of their money, that they're going to spend more a lot of time. So having your game set on a quarter or 50 cents below the dollar mark, a lot of times I think does encourage people to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and me and Tim kind of share this philosophy. We also have the same philosophy with crane games, that we think that cranes shouldn't be set to impossibly hard, that they should be set to pay out maybe double whatever you're putting in the crane is. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Sure.
Just so you are making money, but then you have people who are winning. And when people see other people winning at a crane, guess what they're going to want to play? They're going to want to play. And so that's what we're always here to do, is we're here to encourage people to play arcade games. And one of the ways we can do that is by lowering the price. Now, Tim, how do we set the desired price that we want on our arcade machines?
Well, it all really depends on the game.
Sure.
So a lot of them are just a soft dip or something that you go into the settings and you change the price. What really matters, though, is the coin mech inside. And so some coin mechs, I mean, they all probably take quarters, or that's probably what he's basing, probably takes four quarters to play. So in order to take four quarters, there's probably a setting on your game board itself, so we need to know get the manual for your game board. He didn't say what specific games. It's a lot of driving games.
Sure.
Or you might have to go in maybe a soft or a hard dip, something you change on the board.
Yeah.
So really, realistically, we need to know what games on that. Now, having said that, the game doesn't know except for that it got triggered at a time.
Right.
I've seen games that would take a slug and would count it as a coin. So be careful there. You want to make sure that, you know, and if you said your games are in a really kind of poor area, but it sounds like you're a nice guy and are trying to help them out, give them some games to play. There's even nickel or dimes. There's any coin mechs that you could get. So just if you want to be on quarters, which, you know, is what we like because that's what we grew up on and we like to hear that quarter hit, then you're going to need quarter mechs in there, and then you're going to have to go into either your game setting somewhere or on your board. Either way, you're going to need the manual. We're going to need to know what kind of game. Hopefully, it'll help you further from closer to that.
And yeah, and I don't know, Ben, if you're really familiar with like just what Tim is saying when he says hard dip and soft dip. So hard dip switches are, there's a bank of little switches that are on game boards, and you flip the individual switches to tell the game how much it is per play. And so a driving game that has hard dip switches that are actually on the game board would be Cruisin' USA, right? Sure. Cruisin' USA has actual physical hard dips that you want, you have to change on the physical board itself. So you open up the back of the cabinet, you look at the game board, you've got to change those dip switches.
With Tim, the power off.
With right the power now. Off. Tim usually has his little tiny flathead screwdriver that he'll mm-hmm. use to do that. And so some games you'll have to do that on. Other games you'll have to do these, what we call soft dip switches, which are actually in the game settings. So to access the game settings, you would need to use the test mode button, okay? And so what you do is with the game on, you would hit the test mode button, which would, excuse me, bring up an operator menu that would have a coin settings option that you would select to change it there. Right, Tim?
Mm-hmm. And so, those are pretty easy. You can figure those out. If depending on how old the game, a lot of your newer racing games, like the Fast and Furious we talked about earlier, even Cruising and stuff, a lot of them will have a soft dip where you go in there and actually change. You might even change it from make sure it's on quarters or coins or tokens or whatever you have it set on.
Absolutely. So, Tim, I'm going to go ahead and throw this up here so we can kind of show it. Now, you're talking about Fast and Furious. This was from the Fast and Furious manual, okay. And it is, as you can see, a soft. It's in the test mode settings here. Awesome. And so you can see that picture that I have here on the left. I know it's not real clear, but that's actually from the manual for Fast and Furious. I figured I'd put that up there since we'd already talked about that. But the coin settings for most modern games can be found in the test mode. In order to access this mode, you'll need to press the test button while the game is powered on. This button is usually located inside the top coin door, right, Tim? If you have
right.
like a bottom where the coins are held, and then you have the top where the coin mechanisms are, like Tim was saying, it's usually in the top. It's usually a little button back there that you hit. If you cannot locate a test button, you may need to wire one up using the correct pin locations on the harness. Now, that means you basically have to, where the game board connects, you need to find like which pin corresponds to the test mode, actually run a physical wire from there to a button. And so hopefully that's not the case on yours. Hopefully that test mode button is already there. On older games such as Cruisin' USA, dip switches may be used, and hardware dip switches may be used to modify the coin settings. Okay, please consult the manual for your game in order to find out which method you should use to adjust the coin settings. So you may say, I don't have the manual. Okay, if you do a search for the game on Google with the word manual after it, more than likely you will find a manual for your game. Okay, you'll find a PDF version, and that's all you need to know how to set the dip switch settings for your game. And whether or not it's a hard dip or a soft dip or anything like that. So, yes, dip switches like on older boards, right, and sounds like going to mode setup. Yes, so it just depends on the game, like I said. Newer games, though, you will need to probably get into test mode to change it. Tim, do you have anything else here before we move on?
No, just let us know if you want to give us some specific games, Ben, write us back, maybe take a couple pictures, maybe we can help you even further. I hope some of that makes sense. Sometimes sometimes we just say stuff... assuming that everybody knows what we're talking about. If any of that sounded foreign, please let us know. We'll be glad to help you or make that a little easier to understand.
And I'll also say this, Ben, we exchanged some emails. And like a lot of people know here, we also talk about non-arcade stuff. And, you know, we always encourage people to share if they're having tough times. And Tim, it sounded like Ben was going through some hard times. So we just want to let you know, Ben, you're in our thoughts and our prayers. We're thinking about you. And we hope that those hard times you're going to overcome real soon. I did share your email with my friend here. So that my friend Tim, because me and Tim are very close. And so we just want to let you know that, man, whatever you're going through, we think you can make it through it. And we're going to keep praying for you and keep thinking about you. So, sound good?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Ben, for writing. And we do want to encourage everybody. You know, we started this a long time ago because we couldn't get anybody to work on our games. And we had to learn. And, you know, we always said we didn't know everything, but we knew a few things and what we wanted, we would want to share. But we have met some of the nicest people and some mentors to us and people like that. But it's also developed a lot of friendships and stuff. So, you know, we both have had times in our life where it didn't, you know, there weren't as many friends around. So thank y'all for being here. We consider you friends, and we want you to know that you have friends in us, and that if you ever, even if it's non-arcade related, we are here to listen and to try to offer advice or help, or just sometimes somebody just needs a vent.
Yep.
Or just to get something off their chest, or just to know that anybody else cares, we want you to know that we do.
Absolutely, Tim. So, Ben, hopefully answered your question, and please let us know if you need additional help. If you get us a list of games, we can definitely help you out with how to set those coin settings on those as well. So, okay, Tim, let us move on to our last little section here in our question section. That's the quick question and answers, Tim.
Okay.
So for those of you guys who may be new to the show, this is where I throw three quick questions right at Tim, and he rapid fires the answers right back at us. So it just gives us an opportunity to knock out some questions really quickly that may not take as long as some of the questions we've already covered. And so in this section tonight, we have three questions. I'm going to go ahead and put them up on the screen right now. First question is from Sal. Can I buy a replacement joystick for my Midway 12-in-1 with Robotron and Defender? Okay, so that's the first question. Arthur's question is next. Is the on-off switch included in the Holland Computers cocktail cabinet kit? Okay, because I think we show it in there. So, and then the last one is from Not Yet Skeletal. He says, I have a joystick and 11 buttons on my control panel. I'm tempted to sacrifice a button to get the joystick fully operational again, but I haven't diagnosed the problem properly. Can I just slip some tinfoil in somewhere so I don't have to get my solder kit out? Now, Tim, that is where the title for tonight's episode comes from, slipping some tinfoil inside somewhere. So thank you, Not Yet Skeletal, for that. And so, Tim, we got Sal again with the joystick issue or replacement joystick, Arthur with an on-off switch included in the Holland Computers cocktail kit, and Not Yet Skeletal wondering if he can, if he has to sacrifice a button in order to get his joystick working. So, Tim, let's take these rapid fire real quick. So, Sal, can I buy a replacement joystick for my Midway 12-in-1?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Now, Tim, I don't know what he's talking about. He may be talking about, like, a multi-game board. He may be talking about an arcade 1-up. What would you recommend for him as far as those are concerned?
Well, just make sure it's an arcade part, not just something. And there's a lot of cheap brands. Sometimes you do get what you pay for, but there are a lot of arcade people on our parts page. I would look into them because we have dealt with them. We know them, but you can find them on eBay, Amazon. They're all over the place. Just make sure it's a true quality. We kind of like HAP or Suzo HAP products.
Sure. Okay, the next one was from Arthur about the on-off switch being included in the Holland Computers kit, Tim. Does that come with it?
Yeah, it seems like we've done several of these, and it's always been included.
Every time.
So if not, just let them know you didn't get one, or maybe they've discontinued to include them, but I can't believe that. I think that it comes with it. Just talk to them.
And as you guys may know, Holland Computers is one of our preferred resellers for parts and things. And I will tell you this, their technical support is great. And I've dealt with them before even they were like a premier sponsor here. And their technical support has always been good.
Very good.
Even when I didn't know Bill, okay, who owns the place. Even before I knew Bill, like personally where we were communicating, I've always gotten great customer service from them. So if you're missing a part in your cocktail cabinet kit, make sure you contact their technical support. They will help you out. And then last one from Not Yet Skeletal, Tim. Do I have to sacrifice one of my buttons in order to get my joystick working?
No. They make replacement joysticks. Don't do that.
What about slipping some tinfoil?
They make a... They make replacement micro switches, and by all means, we do not recommend using tinfoil for connections.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, for replacement fuses, keep tinfoil away from your game as far as possible. But it's real simple to just crimp. They make solderless ones if you're not really good at soldering. They make crimp-style connectors that you just squeeze, put on there, and you strip the wire. No soldering is required. But let's, put the tinfoil on your head and watch out for aliens, but don't put it in your game.
There we go. Sounds good, Tim. So let me go ahead and put the put everything that Tim said up here on the outline. I hate to laugh at this because I understand. I think he meant it in humor a little bit. So, I don't feel bad about it. But anyway, it is kind of funny. It is.
Yeah.
So on Sal's, yes, if it's a commercial arcade, like Tim mentioned, try an arcade parts distributor like Suzo HAP, Arcade Shop, Arcade Parts and Repair, etc. Now, if it's a home arcade, okay, you may try eBay or Amazon. So if it's like an Arcade 1-Up or something.
Right.
Arcade 1-Ups use the Zippy-style joysticks. And Tim, I put pictures here. So the one on the left here, if you're looking at the pictures, is a Suzo HAP.
Competition-style
joystick, which we recommend. And the one on the right is a Zippy-style.
Okay.
Now, if it's a home arcade, it may require you doing some soldering or splicing to splice into the original wiring. Okay, because sometimes these the connectors don't play nice, and so you have to splice into like the existing connectors. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it may require some of that. There are some videos out there, if it's Arcade 1-Up though, that people have done that you can check out, and it should help you out. Arthur, yes, the on-off switch should be included in the Han Computer's cocktail cabinet kit. If you did not get one, please contact their support team. And Tim, I took a picture of it here so he knew what it looked like.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it looks like. And it literally fits in a square hole the exact size as that.
Right.
Like, because they cut it, when they cut it with the CNC machine, they cut that hole specifically for that power, for that on-off power switch and adapter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and usually it's already pre-wired and ready to go.
Yeah.
Which means you don't even have to figure out the wire. Or, it's not pre-wired, but the harness has connectors that you just hook up to it.
Yeah. Super. Very simple.
So, and then not yet skeletal. Just order a replacement micro switch. No need to sacrifice one from a button. I like the word sacrifice. I think it's funny. Please don't use tin foil for connections. Crimp terminals / ink connectors on the wires instead. So you can crimp the terminals / ink connectors on that slide onto those prongs. And Tim, that's why I have this picture here. You can see the little connectors there that slide onto the micro switch prongs. No soldering required. No reason to take out your solder. So you're good to go there. Tim, anything else on any of these questions before we move on?
No, but thank you for writing in. Those were fun to answer.
Absolutely. GeekLight08 says the joysticks can be replaced, but wiring will be a bear. That Midway was the one that Clay Calgill worked on, if memory serves. Yeah, so if it's a arcade style, it may require some, or if it's, even if it's a home use, just depending, you may have to splice some wires in order to get those working, because sometimes those connectors are a little wonky. If it's standard, it won't take any of that, but a lot of times it's not standard, right, Tim?
Yeah,
so true. It just depends. Let's see. That Midway looked like my big games marquee from 2005, 2006. He didn't really send a Midway 12-in-1. And if that's the case, it could be that Midway 12-in-1, which is also a home arcade style joystick.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, you may have to, there may be a little soldering and splicing involved there as well. I was thinking more Arcade 1-Up, Tim, but you remember
the
big electronics Midway 12-in-1
I think
that
you're
they
right.
had? Yeah, it could be
I
that
I forgot
one
about
well.
That. Thank
so
you.
For sure. That could be the case. So, and Joe says, slip tinfoil in, look for the smoke. That part was the problem. there you go. Absolutely. So, good stuff there. Again, I just thought it was funny. So that's what we used for the episode title. Slipping some tinfoil inside somewhere. So there we go. Now, we're finished up with the questions for this month, Tim. But before we go to the news section and discussion that we normally do, we talked at the beginning of the show. Somebody had a birthday.
Oh, that's correct.
Yes, so happy,
whether
happy
I wanted
birthday
it,
from all of us to you.
Wherever
happy
I knew it.
From your Arcade Repair Tips crew, hey.
Okay,
and so I got Tim's gift. So.
All right.
Happy birthday,
Jonathan.
So I did not make a slide for, usually I make a slide with what I got him, but this year I was just like, it's too much trouble. So.
Now last month we gave some, or we sent, shipped some
stuff
off.
Yeah, so Tim had all these shirts that he wanted to give away, and some of you guys ordered some shirts, so some of you may be wearing Tim's shirt right now while you're watching the live show. So, but I don't know. That could be the case. But we did ship out some, and we still have some left if you guys are interested in those. Speaking of shirts.
Yeah, speaking of shirts, it looks like out the closet, now we got some more.
I wanted to get you some you could wear on the live show that weren't necessarily arcade.
Okay.
So these aren't necessarily arcade, but, I wanted to do something different this time. So there's one for you there, Tim.
All right.
Now, I like this one. First off, bowling is cool, guys. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. And Tim, we should all bowl more. But I like the quality of that shirt.
Yeah.
Like, feel the quality.
Yeah, it has a good, soft, very soft.
I good quality
good
shirts.
Good white.
Absolutely. So I'm all about good quality shirts.
So it says, let the good times bowl. Lanes are open. 1-800-CAN-BOWL.
Hey, bowling is good.
That's fun.
I want to get you something that wasn't necessarily arcade.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I get you arcade shirts all the time. So.
Oh, well, I know what this one is.
There you go. Now, that one, it's just, I had to get them.
Sure. Everybody knows this.
Yeah, I was about to say. Star Wars. So, has everybody seen the
memes?
The memes for the, what is it? Whatever the beer is. I can't even think of it at the moment. So, but, so the little, Cerveza Cristal, right? Cerveza Cristal. Everybody's seen, like, the Chilean TV broadcast of Star Wars with the Cerveza Cristal commercials in it.
Yes.
That's what I sent you. I didn't know if Tim had said, the last thing. Did you share everybody with the last thing?
I did not. I did want to say that there is a gift card in here to Harbor Freight. So thank you, Jonathan.
You're welcome, of course.
Way overdone it.
Yeah,
thank
of course.
You.
Well, we had to get you a gift. Harbor Freight. Like, who doesn't like Harbor Freight?
And you know, it's like one of those deals where I like when I go in there, I don't really, like, I'll have a gift card, and I have no clue what I'm going to get. But mm-hmm. they always have the coolest gadgets or something. I'll be like, oh, I need one of those. And I got some projects coming up, so I definitely could use some new stuff.
Absolutely. Now, not all of their tools are super quality, but they'll get the job done if you're a one-time or something like that.
Right.
So. YouTube Punk says thank you for the shirts. He got his.
Oh, nice.
So if you still want one of Tim's shirts, we still have some. Now, I think all the 2XLs are gone. So okay. Everything I have is XL, but I'll show them up here. So if you send an email to questions@arcaderepairtips.com saying you would like, you're interested in purchasing one of Tim's leftover shirts, we did sell some. So, and I say sell, we just charge people shipping. So we saw the Back in the Day shirt here. Like I said, most of these, I think all these are XL. Here's a Centipede. Is this XL? Centipede one. This one's from the movie Pixels right there. So I got Game, and this is XL too. I think these are all XL. So, and I actually threw, I think I threw some of mine in here just to, there's a nice, that's an America Atari t-shirt. There's an actual Atari t-shirt. And then we have a Camaro. If you want any of these, if you're interested in buying, what we were doing is, it was shipping, if I did priority mail, it was $9, and I would give you up to 3 shirts. So,
okay.
So basically, if you ordered 3 shirts for $9, you got them for $3 a shirt.
Yeah.
You know, can't ask for anything more than that, right? That's pretty cheap. So they're all XL. So you need to contact, if you wear XL, is this going to, are you going to qualify? Yeah. But if you would like a arcade or
gently used, worn on the show, most of them.
That's right.
You know, if Tom Brady was selling his jerseys, that would have been a good deal. But, you know, just pay the shipping. Just hate to throw them out.
Yeah, exactly. You just pay the shipping.
No longer fit me.
So for $9, you can get 3 t-shirts, 3 XL t-shirts. I mean, where else are you going to find t-shirts for $3 a pop? That's what I would say.
So where do they need to email us to contact you if they still want
questions at arcaderepairtips.com. Email me. Let me know you want some of Tim's shirts. And
so maybe somebody's even ordered some shirts. They might want some more.
Sure.
Okay.
If you want some more, that's fine.
Let's get rid of it.
Still going to do it. It's $9 pretty much to ship anywhere in the United States. And like I said, you can get up to 3. You can take less than 3. Some people want less than 3. One person wanted one signed. I think it was the Gaddy shirt, right?
Yeah.
And Tim signed the Gaddy shirt. I forget who that went to. So, we'll sign it too. If you want us to sign one, I don't mind signing them. So I dropped it off at Tim's house. He dropped it back off at mine. So it was easy. But shirts are still available. YouTube Punk got some shirts. You can get some shirts too. Again, 3 for $9 basically. Including shipping. So, pretty good deal. But anyway.
But not my new shirt.
Not your new shirts. That's right. Keep the new shirts. Happy birthday, Tim.
Maybe a couple, few years from now.
Yeah, he'll wear them 3 times on the live show.
Hopefully, one day I'll be back in those shirts and I'll have to sell the bigger ones. That's the goal.
There you go.
Dream on, right?
Yeah, like I said, I like that. I like the bowling shirt. I like the quality. Like, it's hard to find quality shirt t-shirts.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Agree.
Without spending the bundle.
Right.
So, anyway. Yeah, it is. And bowling is cool still. In fact, you know, we got spring break coming up, Tim. May take the kids bowling.
Oh, fun.
It's fun. So, anyway, let us go on to the news section here, Tim. And the first story that we have here is about Atari. Speaking of Atari, we were talking about that with the shirts. Atari Celebrity Game Show in the works from executive producers Jay Blumenfield and Tony Marsh. And this is from Deadline, Tim. Atari is joining Chuck E. Cheese in the television game show landscape. We're beyond excited to partner with Atari to bring you the ultimate celebrity game show with all the drama, comedy, and nostalgia that comes with it, Blumenfield said. This show celebrates the history of gaming, the culture of entertainment, and the joy of competing like we're kids. Now, Tim, last month we did have the story about Chuck E. Cheese having a game show, which is why it's kind of like Atari and Chuck E. Cheese now are both having their own kind of competing game shows right now. Who knows if they'll get picked up? I guess it depends, but I still think it's cool, and this one's going to have celebrities on it, Tim, which, you know, may make for a little bit more fun overall. So.
Maybe.
Do you are there any game shows that you're really big on, Tim, that you like to watch? Or,
you know, I haven't watched a lot lately, but I've always been a big Wheel of Fortune fan. I like Jeopardy, but probably, you know, to be honest, one of my favorite game shows, if I ever thought I wanted to be on one, was Deal or No Deal.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then to have the video game, I played the heck out of it.
Have you seen Deal or No Deal Island?
Yes.
Okay, that's the
and
new
so,
thing, right?
So I did say there. That's what I was leading up to. There is a new one coming out, so I might watch it. I do love game shows. They say they're good for you to keep your mind captured. And you know, we have a friend. You know this, right? We have a good friend that's been in some of our videos. We'll leave it at that. He might want his anonymity. But his parents actually won $1 million on a game show.
That's right.
And so, in fact, if I know the history right, the first people ever to win $1 million on a game show.
There you go.
Back in the late 80s. So, anyway.
$1 million is a lot back then.
That was a lot. In fact,
still a lot now.
I don't think they thought it could be won.
There you go.
I did see the documentary, was it on Netflix, about the guy, where did I see this, where he won on the game show. No. There's this new show on, audience help me out here. I need to find it. When I was traveling to Arkansas last month, I didn't have my Netflix and all that, so I'm watching cable.
Okay.
Right? Who watches cable? Except when it's
Baseball game
or something. Yeah.
I have cable specifically for sports. Right.
All right. But I was watching a show. It was called like Tricksters, Swindlers, Mobsters. Somebody help me with the name. And talks about these people and shows how they're like card sharks and stuff. One was a guy who won all this $800,000 on a game show. And they tell you, you cannot tell anybody, right?
Right.
So he don't want to miss his $800,000. It's like months go by and the game show goes out of business. And he's thinking, am I going to get paid? You know? And anyway, it's a really good show. Maybe somebody knows what I'm talking about in the live show. Please chip in. We've got to find it. It was really, really interesting because he talked about all the behind the scenes stuff you don't realize.
Right.
And how the pressure was mounting and he had to come back. And it was like double or nothing the next day. And he ended up winning $800,000.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So we got, let's see, Geek Light 08 says, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy plus one. So he's the same there. Joe says, we have the best shirts. Thank you. We like that. Okay. Shirts. We love that. Joe Holt says, big money, no whammies. That is Press Your Luck.
Yeah,
yes, remember that. With Peter Tamarkin was my favorite. Now Elizabeth Banks does the show. And yes, I do know a lot about game shows. So
yeah.
But and then I forget who did it on Game Show Network. They actually had a Press Your Luck on Game Show Network there for a while. It's called Whammy, though.
Have you ever thought about being on a game show?
Absolutely. I love Jeopardy.
Okay.
And I've thought about being on there. I don't think my trivia skills are strong enough. But there's a guy from the Dallas area who is in the Tournament of Champions, and he was a 3-game winner. He just knocked off like a 22-game winner in the tournament.
Wow.
So, in fact, I think they're playing, I think they played today. I need to watch, I have not watched today's episode. I think he was playing again. His name's Jared. But he's from the Dallas area, and he was playing again tonight in the tournament. So, I need to watch that.
We did meet a guy that was on Deal or No Deal.
Oh, really?
And he, well, if you remember, Jonathan, he won and bought a seafood place.
He's from here.
And was wanting a video game to put in it.
Yep.
And it just never worked out. And anyway, I can't remember his name now. I can see his face.
Yeah.
And one day I was sitting in bed watching TV. He had won on Deal or No Deal. He was on Wheel of Fortune. I was like, that's the same guy.
Oh, you know, so they try out for a whole bunch of them.
That's what this guy talked about in that show. I can't think of the name for. But anyway, I always thought, I tried to go for Deal or No Deal. I think it was 13 pages you had to fill out.
Wow.
It was crazy. I never got called.
Well, Jeopardy, you have a quiz. And then it's still luck of the draw, even if you do well in the quiz.
Right.
Like, yeah, you have to qualify, which is interesting. GeekGlad08 says, Match Game on Buzzer Network. Reruns are awesome. There was one that I watched. I watched the new Frogger reboot on Peacock when they did that. So Frogger's basically, it's basically The Floor is Lava.
Okay,
but it's based on the video game Frogger, so they have all of the things and everything. It was really good. So if you have Peacock and you're looking for something to watch, then you may want to try Frogger out. It is based on the original arcade game.
Okay. Know?
And so I thought that was good. And so, in fact, I'd watch another season of it, to be honest with you. But we watched The Floor is Lava on Netflix, too. Have you seen The Floor is Lava? I was about to say. So we watched it. It's the same game.
It's fun to watch.
But there's something about having the Frogger slant that makes me like it a little bit better.
Sure.
You know? So, I mean, just putting a little slant on it. But, Tim, the one that I watched most recently that I really enjoyed was The Floor.
Okay.
Did you see The Floor?
I have not seen it, but I've seen the like, previews to it, and it looks really good.
So it's over now. It was 10 episodes, but it was really
interesting. I'm hoping somebody
really
will pick it up and I'll watch it on Netflix or something.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So basically, like, everybody has a square on the floor, and as you, like, you challenge people, and the way you challenge people is, like, every person has a topic. And so, like, somebody gets random. There's a randomizer that randomizes. I'm getting into all the minutiae of this. There's a randomizer that randomizes, like, the squares on the floor, and so it picks somebody, and you can challenge anybody that's on a square you're connected to.
Okay.
And their topic. So you see their topic.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say their topic is kitchen appliances.
Right.
Okay. So you challenge the guy who's expert at kitchen appliances. Y'all go up to the front. They show you pictures of kitchen appliances. And you go back and forth. And each of you has a timer. And whoever, and every time it's your turn to answer, the timer ticks down.
Okay.
And whoever's timer gets to zero loses.
Okay.
And then you inherit, if you win, you inherit their square. And okay. So the idea is to get as much of the floor as possible.
Interesting.
Okay, it's very interesting. So it's on Hulu. Geeklad 08 says the floor.
Thank you.
So if you've got Hulu, you can watch the floor.
I'll watch
I like
that.
The floor. I thought it was really interesting. I like game shows too. Mm-hmm. And I like Elizabeth Banks on Pressure Luck. She does a really good job. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of any of the rest of them. I really haven't watched a ton of them lately, except for the floor. I like
that.
And
of course, the Perfect Game documentary on Netflix about the Ellen Price is Right.
The Perfect Bid.
The Perfect Bid. If you've never seen that, that is really interesting.
Absolutely.
And I still like Price is Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Price is Right is good. Mm-hmm. So The Perfect Bid is really good. So that's a really good documentary.
If you've never seen The Perfect Bid, go to Netflix and put that on your watch list now.
And Geeklight 08 was talking about Pressure Luck. You know, there's a big scandal with Pressure Luck, and Game Show Network did a documentary about that where the guy figured out the pattern of Pressure Luck and was able to hit the no whammies every time.
Wow.
You can't find this documentary anywhere. I recorded it on TV years ago, and I think I have a rip of it that I've gone to digital now. Mm-hmm. But they don't show this documentary. It's very interesting. But but the guy figured out the pattern, Tim. So he knew exactly when to hit the buzzer to make sure that he wasn't getting whammies.
Nice.
And to always get, like, money plus a spin.
Okay.
Super interesting.
So, interesting.
So I like game shows. Looking forward to the Atari game show and the game show from Chuck E. Cheese. And hopefully both of them get picked up and I get to watch them. But, you know, the nice thing about game show is, Tim, is that there's not a whole lot of writing involved, unless it's Jeopardy, of course. You got the Clue Crew there.
Right.
But, you know, there you go. Oh, Geeklight08 says the Quiz Lady is also good. I don't know that one. So there you go. But anyway, game shows. So Atari, Chuck E. Cheese. We'll watch them when they come out. We'll give our opinion.
Sure.
So there you go. Let's talk about some new releases. Here we go. Oh, Joe says he played the floor once after he drank too much. So it is what it is. So maybe we've all
that
done that.
Like, I was going to say, that sounds pretty common.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some new games real quick, guys. We got some new games that are going to be released, either have been released or are upcoming pretty soon. And this first one is from our friends at Multimorphic, Tim.
Interesting.
Okay,
yeah.
So Multimorphic has the P3 platform. Obviously, we've talked to Jerry a lot, who's the head guy over there at Multimorphic. But guys, they've actually gotten the rights to the Princess Bride movie, which is pretty awesome. I was like, golly, that's awesome. So the Princess Bride pinball game is based on the 1987 film and is loaded with video clips, quotes, and dynamic content that guide the player through all the iconic scenes. The physical play field includes interactive features modeled directly from the film, such as Humperdinck's Castle, Miracle Max's Hut, the Cliffs of Insanity, where the pinball physically climbs up the cliffs, and more. Now, Tim, you can't see the pricing on here, but it looks like the standard, is that the enhanced or standard? I can't even read that very well. The enhanced or standard edition for just the kit is like $37.50, but for the whole machine is $11.5.
Okay.
Okay, and then the next one over there, the limited edition is $5,000 for the kits, and it looks like, is it $12,750 for the machine?
Wow. But so, still, think about if you had invested a long time ago, you could get these kits now and not have to buy a new machine. That's
the
whole purpose,
when
right?
The P3 came out, I think the platform was, what, 10 grand? And you got, like, some extra... You got a lot of games with it. You got a lot of... like, you got at least the first three game packs for free. You got, like, Lexi Lightspeed, Cosmic Kart Racing, and then, like, the bonus one that had the Canon game with it.
Yeah.
Like, you got all three of those kits with it. And so that was a really good deal. Obviously, pricing has gone up, just like everything has gone up. Mm-hmm. But when you think about investing in a platform, that's the nice thing about it. Like we mentioned, you spend the 10 grand and now you just spend like $37.50 to get the kit. You know what I'm saying? So you're not having to shell out the $6,000 or $7,000 you'd have to shell out for an entire new pinball machine. So
pretty cool.
And I mean, I'm a big Princess Bride fan. Tim, do you like that movie?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Everybody likes it.
Everybody likes that movie, right?
It's a great movie.
Absolutely. So if you haven't seen it before, you should watch The Princess Bride. Put that on your list of things to watch and tell us what you thought next month
right,
if you haven't
seen
it. But it is a really good film and we do highly recommend it. So, and I'm looking forward to playing this. Tim, if you're going to be at Pinball Festival, I do believe they're going to have units there.
Nice.
Now, Pinball Festival is next weekend.
Next weekend.
Me and Tim will not be there.
More than likely, it's going to be a stretch.
And Mark fussed at us a little bit about that. And I'm okay with that because he's right. We should be there. Next year, we're going to try to make a real push for it. The problem is, Tim, it always sneaks up on me.
Always.
I act like I'm planning for it and everything. But then for some reason, March gets here and I'm like, oh, it's here. You know, and I've already planned other stuff around it. So as soon as they announce the dates this year, I'm just going
to
mark it off on the calendar and do it.
We need
so
to.
So let's just do it, Tim.
Okay.
So we're just going to do it.
Yeah, it's funny. When I worked for Chuck E. Cheese all them years, it was always spring break week, which was horrible. And I could never take off. And I thought, now that I have this job and I'm just as busy as I ever was, I still can't take off.
Yeah, exactly. So it is what it is. And, you know, now, I mean, obviously all those years we went, I didn't have kids and all this kind of other stuff. And it's like, when you add kids, you add two more schedules to everything that you're doing. And so it's just, we got a lot going on. So
that's true.
It is what it is. And I mean, I know it's spring break week, which is really nice, but I mean, we've got stuff that we want to do. And the problem is that's at the end of spring break when I'm trying to get, we're going to start getting slowly back into the routine.
Agree.
Which is not fun. But anyway, Texas Pinball Festival next weekend. So if you're in the area, you should go. If you've never been, you should go. It's always a good time. You get to play all the new pinball machines. Highly recommended. Lots of friends are going to be there. And Tim, that's probably the thing I miss more than anything, more than playing the games, more than seeing all the sites, more than going to all the seminars. I miss hanging out with friends.
For sure.
And that's definitely the best part of it. So, okay, Tim, let us move on to our next little news nugget here. And that is that we've got a new release. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade Wrath of the Mutants is coming to consoles and PC. Early in the show, we talked about Raw Thrills, Tim. Mm-hmm. Well, Raw Thrills released this game in arcades back in 2017. And now the game is coming home for people to play. Nice. So you no longer have to invest, what is it, 10 grand in a machine to play this game. You can just play it on your PC, your Xbox, or any other home console that you have. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade Wrath of the Mutants, the 2017 arcade game by Raw Thrills, based on the 2012 Nickelodeon TV series, is coming to PC and home consoles on April 23rd. It'll be priced at $29.99. The game includes the voice actors from the show, Seth Green, Sean Astin, Rob Paulson, and Greg Sipes.
Okay.
And reprising their roles, as well as four-player local co-op. And Tim, can we really ever get too much four-player local co-op?
Of course not.
I'm like, that's like the sweet spot, right? Mm-hmm. That's like where everybody wants to be. So I love this game. I like to play it. We still play it at the arcade. Tim, we have an arcade here called Grand Slam that my kids like to go to. Mm-hmm. They have this game there. We still play it there. It probably doesn't earn a whole bunch of money. It's not in the best spot, but it is a fun game to play.
Yes.
For sure. So, and to be honest with you, my kids would rather earn tickets in a lot of cases. And unfortunately, that is not a ticket game. But I'm sure once it comes home, we're going to spend that $30 on it, pick it up, and we're going to play it. So it looks really fun. Looking forward to that. And Tim, I think the last little bit of news here that we have is about a new arcade, 1UP Arcade. Now, Tim, this one's a little bit different in that it is kind of a reprise of one they've already released, but it's got new artwork. And this new artwork is pretty impressive because it correlates with a re-release of an old TV show. So, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 X-Men 97 Edition Deluxe Arcade is now available for pre-order from Arcade 1UP. Arcade 1UP has announced a Marvel vs. Capcom 2 Deluxe Edition cabinet that has artwork inspired by the upcoming X-Men 97 TV series. The cabinet includes 8 arcade games, online multiplayer, and a 17-inch screen. Price is $499.99. Cabinet can be pre-ordered on Amazon. And Tim, we have a pre-order link below if you'd like to do this. Tim, are you familiar with X-Men 97?
Yes.
Okay, so when I was a kid, on Saturday mornings, there was an X-Men cartoon.
Right, that was...
It ended. And now they're continuing it.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool, with the original voice actors in many cases. So they got a lot of people who did the original voices to reprise the roles of their voices, which is pretty cool.
How neat.
And so this is a big deal for people like me who grew up with that X-Men cartoon on Fox on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is just Arcade 1UP cashing in on that, saying, hey, we've already got the license for this Marvel, multi-game cabinet, and so we're just going to reskin it with this cool X-Men 97 artwork, and then we're going to re-release it, right? And
yeah,
so,
right,
and it looks beautiful. So, I think for people who, you know, are wanting more of that X-Men 97 style merchandise, I think they're going to be very happy with this. The fact that it's a deluxe cabinet. So, Tim, what that picture on the far right that you see here with the guy standing up at it, you can see that it's not quite full size, but pretty close.
Yeah.
This does not have a riser, okay? So, you don't have the riser on it like you normally would. So you don't have to worry about that.
Oh,
but overall, it is. I mean, it looks like a very impressive cabinet, and I think the $500 price is probably right on where it needs to be. So, if you guys have any thoughts about this, let us know what you think. But overall, I mean, you know, look, it seems like Arcade 1UP's just kind of rehashing the licenses that they've already got, which good on them because I mean, it takes a lot of work to get licensing, just period. And I also wonder how some of their licensing did, like with NFL Blitz, with Star Wars, and things like that, because it just doesn't seem like we've seen re-releases of those cabinets. So I'm not sure if we're going to get any more of those, if that makes sense.
For sure.
So, but it seems like the X-Men, Marvel vs. Capcom cabinets did really well. And obviously the Pac-Man cabinets, Tim, and some of those, because they keep releasing those. So I think that at least shows us that there is at least a market for it, for those more popular titles, right?
For sure.
Maybe not for the lesser known stuff, but definitely for the popular stuff. So, Well, Tim, I think we're going to wrap it up right here as far as the live show is concerned. So I'll just go ahead and we'll give our contact information, a couple announcements here. We do want to remind you that we do want your arcade-related videos. So if you want some free advertising for your YouTube channel, we're looking for people to submit short videos, 10 minutes or less, about arcade-related topics. Please send a link of your video to questions@arcaderepairtips.com and our staff will review it. If we like it, we'll use it during one of our live show episodes. Make sure to put a plug in for your channel so people will know where to find you. We look forward to seeing your submissions. And Tim, we put this out there every live show, basically, because we know that there are some arcade-related channels out there where you may be close to that monetization threshold, maybe not quite there as far as subscribers or views go. And so this is just a way for us to give you some advertising to hopefully get you over that monetization threshold so that you can actually monetize your videos. Not that they pay a whole lot, Tim, but you know, at least you can get something from all your hard work. But we will want to encourage you to do that. So if you want a little bit of free advertising from us, send a video of yours to questions@arcaderepairtips.com or review it. And if we like it, we'll use it right here on the live show for you. And then we have our contact information. We have our general email that we've given out several times throughout the show, Tim, but now we'll give out again. That's questions@arcaderepairtips.com, questions@arcaderepairtips.com. And if you put live show in the subject line, we will save it for the live show. Otherwise, we may just try to answer it whenever we get around to it. But if you'd like it on the live show specifically, make sure you put live show in the title, and that will make sure we put it on the show. But regardless, send your questions to questions@arcaderepairtips.com if you have any questions about anything arcade repair related or otherwise, right, Tim?
That's right. There you go.
And we also have our YouTube page. Of course, if you guys are watching this live, you know where our YouTube page is. But if you are not watching this, maybe you're listening to this on the Question and Answer podcast feed or somewhere else, then you can go to youtube.arcaderepairtips.com and look up the video for this episode and make sure that you actually get to see us as well as hear us. And Tim, we do want to remind people that if you're listening to this on the audio podcast feed, we do not broadcast the after show on the audio podcast feed. So if you want the after show, make sure you go to YouTube, look up this episode, and then watch the YouTube video for the after show if you would like to see it. And of course, comments from the last show, we try to cover on the next episode. So if you leave a comment on this episode 85 show on YouTube, we will try to get around to that comment on the next live show. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But again, youtube.arcaderepairtips.com to get to our YouTube channel. And then, Tim, we do have our podcast feed where we keep our live show audio, our interviews podcast, our question and answer podcast, and all the other content that we have. And you can subscribe to that on iTunes at itunes.arcaderepairtips.com or on Spotify at spotify.arcaderepairtips.com or on Audible at audible.arcaderepairtips.com. Just depending on wherever you aggregate your podcast, of course. Tim, I have a different app that I use than all of these, so maybe you use something different. But you can pretty much find us on any platform. If you just do a search from Arcade Repair in your favorite podcast app, more than likely you'll find us. So that is something to keep in mind. But again, itunes.arcaderepairtips.com for the iTunes page, spotify.arcaderepairtips.com for Spotify, and audible.arcaderepairtips.com for Audible. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a 5-star review. We would love to have more reviews there. Obviously, that helps our podcast get a little bit more notoriety out there, gives us a little bit more visibility for people. We do appreciate it. And if you don't give us 5 stars, contact us to let us know what we're doing wrong. We'd be happy to take constructive criticism, right?
Oh, I thought we'd block them.
Oh, okay. Well, we could do that too.
No, we can take it.
Okay, we could take constructive criticism. So there you go. And then we have our social media pages. We have our Facebook page at facebook.arcaderepairtips.com and our Twitter/X page at twitter.arcaderepairtips.com. Tim, I still can't call it X.
Yeah.
No matter what I do, I still can't call it X. But
not the same.
Yeah, we do want to thank Mark for all of his contributions. Like I said, he was telling us that we should come to Texas Pinball Festival, and I totally agree with him, except for the fact that we're not going to do it this year. Hopefully next year. But we want to thank Mark for all of his contributions for sure. And be sure to subscribe on one of those pages in order to get all the latest news from Arcade Repair Tips. Of course, Tim, we post all the arcade news we find there. And we also post, you know, information about when the live show happens. So that way, if you would have been on the feed, you would have known that we started an hour later last night. Maybe you're coming in now and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I didn't miss that much of the show. So I don't know. But again, facebook.arcaderepairtips.com for our Facebook page and twitter.arcaderepairtips.com for our Twitter X page. Make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to one of those if you are so inclined. So there we go. Okay. Are we done?
We're done.
Now, at this point in the show, if those of you guys who are new, we usually wrap it up. So we're going to wrap up the regular live show. But then about 5 to 10 minutes, if you stay tuned right here, we're going to have the after show. Now, the after show is basically where me and Tim just basically talk about the stuff that we want to talk about. So that means movies, TV shows. What else, Tim?
Sports,
other things. Now, we do take arcade questions during that time as well. So if you have one of those, you can still leave it in the live chat for us and we'll try to get around to that. But for the most part, we'll be talking about some of the movies, shows, things, and all that kind of stuff that we've seen. Tim, do you have anything that you want to tease for the after show tonight?
You know, I have been so busy that I didn't even get you a list because I've been watching one show, and that's about it. I've been watching This Is Us.
Oh, okay.
Because it's got 18 seasons.
Yep.
And so I'll watch an episode or two a night. I'm finally, I think, getting close to the final season. And at this point, I just want it to be over with.
There you go.
But that's okay.
So This Is Us for Tim. I can tell you, I saw a couple of movies. I saw The Iron Claw, Tim.
Okay, good.
Okay, so obviously, you know, that's been a big one for me. I wanted to really see that one. So, mm-hmm. And then Anyone But You, which was another movie that came out. We watched that on Valentine's Day. I watched that with my wife. We'll talk about Valentine's Day, of course. We'll talk about the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl happened since the last time.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, it's been that long. So we'll talk a little bit about the Super Bowl and what we thought about that. We're talking about some NBA, NHL, UFL starting up at the end of the month, Tim. By the next time we have the podcast, the UFL will be started. And Tim, I got some information to also share with you about somewhere I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So we'll talk about that as well. So if you'd like to hear more about that, make sure you stay tuned. If you're watching this on the live feed or on YouTube, that'll just be 5 to 10 minutes after the show. If you're listening to this on the question and answer podcast feed, then make sure you look up the video for this episode to check out the after show. Tim, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up our regular show, though?
No, just thank you for everybody being here. And those of you who had questions, please follow up with us, because even if it was a good fix and you... It's always nice to know what actually fixed it. Sometimes it's what we recommended. Sometimes we're way off.
Sure.
But that's okay. Our main thing is that you got your game fixed. Good luck to you. Contact us if we can help you more.
Absolutely. And I always want to thank the live chat here. Round of applause for the live chat. You guys stuck it out an hour or later tonight. So you get a pat on the back, right? Right here for doing that and for being here a little bit later. But maybe they gave you the opportunity to be here on time. Like I said, so maybe it was a good change. I don't know. I like Tim getting home earlier, which is why we like to get earlier. Right. But, you know, it worked out better for Tim tonight, too. So it kind of worked better for both of us.
It really did.
Later. So I don't know if this is going to be a regular thing. I think we'll try to continue the first Thursday night of the month at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. But you never know. Stay tuned to our Facebook, Twitter feeds for more information on that. Tim, I will say the next live show is in April and happens on my actual birthday.
Okay, so are we going to actually do it on your birthday, or do you celebrate on the weekend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you know me, Tim, my birthday is just like any other day, so we're just going to work it.
No, it's a special day, and we're like going to be glad to celebrate
with you. I'm an adult, I go to work on my birthday.
How old will you be on this birthday?
I will be 42.
42.
So I'll be 42. There you go.
You like Jackie Robinson.
Yes, exactly.
Number 42.
Absolutely.
It's a good year.
Absolutely. So
I barely remember it.
There you go. So thank you guys again for joining us. Let's see. Phaser says, thank you guys. As always, I appreciate you taking the time to share your expertise. Take care. Thank you from John. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for being here tonight. And make sure you stay tuned to the after show if you want to. But if this is your exit ramp, we want to thank you again for watching. And remember, here at Arcade Repair Tips, when you fix the game,
yeah, play the game.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you in the after show. And we'll see you next month for the April live show.
Thank you for watching this episode of the Arcade Repair Tips live show. All of our past episodes are available on our website at arcaderepairtips.com or on our YouTube page. This show is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Please consult a professional before attempting to repair any coin-operated machines yourself. The preceding program is a Varcade Entertainment production.